And here we are for an episode of Dualistic Unity Raw. It's Monday morning, which means we have a tier one call after this, which I'm very excited for. I like our tier one calls because we have a lot of Patreon supporters, and I think a third of them are on tier one, because a lot of our Patreon supporters are tier two and tier three just because of the extra perks and whatnot. But tier one, we get a lot of people who are just introduced to Patreon and just introduced to the group. So it's really nice to be able to sit, chill with them on a Monday morning and kick the day off in a different mood. And boy, man, can I fucking appreciate that today. You know, it's funny. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the background of the podcast for me. Like, there's a lot in terms of my life, frankly. Everything that I've been through, everything I'm going through, relationships, thoughts about myself that I've held on to, things like that. Like, it's the emotional roller coaster. And I think it's easy to forget that from time to time. And that's good. It's not that I want people going around going, yeah, Ray really suffers. It's not what I want. So that's definitely not it. But I think that there's this perception that because I'm good at keeping it light, that I never feel it get heavy. And it's actually the exact opposite. I'm good at keeping it light because there's always an element of heavy. Because my life has been a roller coaster. It's been a ride. There's been a lot of things that could mean a lot of negative things about this character. You know, abandonment, relationships, not having a home, not like just in general, like there's a lot in terms of how I used to define myself by the things that the people in my life did or by the things that I lost, things that I couldn't hold on to, things like that. And I guess that's the point, is I realized, oh, wow, you know, I was really making that heavy. I've really made those things heavy, rather than recognizing it wasn't loss, it was gain, rather than recognizing that, you know, it wasn't necessarily that things weren't working out, they just weren't working out the way I wanted them to. You know, it's not that people were abandoning me so much as people were just doing their own thing. It wasn't personal. People were going through their own stories, you know, and that's the thing. So you learn all that over time, and you learn, you know, through reflection that you do the same things, you know, in a lot of ways. And so there's the whole emotional spectrum. I guess what I'm saying is that I spent most of yesterday evening going up and down through bouts of crying, you know, just kind of sitting in my house, you know, working out here and there. I'd go for a walk. It would kind of overwhelm me. I'd sit down, just kind of let myself sob for a bit. And then it would pass, and I'd go back to trying to get some work done. And then all of a sudden, it would come back like a fucking swell, and I'd just go back to just sobbing for a bit. Then my cat would come over and go like, hey, man, you good? And so I'd play with my cat for a bit. Did this fucking brilliant thing where I taped toilet paper in a big, long string to my fan in the living room. So that way it kept dragging it around and making it like fly in the air above my cat. He had so much fun for like 45 minutes of just chasing. I have a video. Anyway, the point is that then I went back to sobbing. So finally by the end of the night, and a friend reached out and they're like, hey, do you want to talk? Like, I don't care if you're feeling like a bummer, let's talk. And I tried gallantly to get on the call for like 10 minutes. And I just started blubbering towards the end. I'm like, I gotta go. And so I just got off the phone and just spent the night just being alone, going through it, you know. Decided I was going to catch an early night, went to bed like 10:30, laid in bed, just go through it for about a half hour and finally nodded off. And then I woke up this morning and I'm feeling fine, you know, and all the stuff that yesterday seemed so meaningful and so emotional and everything else. I'm looking at it now going, oh, wow. Yeah, that was really dependent on a lot of things that I was still kind of holding on to, a lot of things that I was still personalizing, a lot of stuff that I was still tempted to add to the previous story I was so attached to, which almost brought back the previous story with it. And so that's the point, is that I could have panicked through any of that. I could have, you know, why can't I pick myself up? Why don't I feel better? You know, all that. But that would have made it worse. And I know that would have made it worse. And so while I tried to get on a call for a little bit and it didn't work out, at least I tried, you know, and while I didn't, you know, I couldn't get out of it for the evening, I did get out of it for moments throughout the evening. Right. And then it came back. Why? Because the pendulum swings, because there are lessons. There's an oscillation that happens between one side and the other. And that's how we learn the middle and the entirety of the context. So it was an experience that when I was younger, I would have looked at and went, oh, something's wrong. And that would have dragged it into this morning, where I would have been trying to solve it, and I would have been putting myself right back into it, looking at it, rather than recognizing that it was being resolved. The process of feeling it authentically, facing it, looking at why it meant anything at all, and then allowing it to just do its thing, get some sleep, let my body inform itself, and the next morning wake up feeling refreshed. And I do. Do I not feel anything that happened yesterday? No, that's not the point. The point is that I don't feel wrung out by it. I feel refreshed by it. See, I feel refreshed by it. Like I just went through fire and let go of a fucking superficial layer that I didn't need. And so I'm excited about today's episode because it's really important to recognize it's those moments of being alone, going through the shit where you really are learning. Don't think it's about learning in a conceptual way. That all kind of happens as you go along. It's about learning who you are and what you still feel and what you're still holding on to. Again, not in the conceptual way, because you're going to be feeling shit. Just feel it. Just feel it. And then after you feel it, as the swell starts to subside and you have a moment where you're like, all right, I'm just going to breathe, get myself some orange juice or something. This is fucking ridiculous. And then you're like, oh, wow, yeah. Well, I really am holding on to that. You know, and then here comes the swell. And then you go through it again. But that's the process of just kind of wearing it down, allowing yourself to go through it until finally you're like, ah, there was something here that needed to happen. But if we resist it, we run from it. Because I could have. You know, it's funny, last night I was really tempted to like put on a movie. Right? Because that would have been an easy way to tune out. I started thinking about like, what would be a funny movie right now? And I remembered Team America, World Police. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great. And then I thought to myself, but why? Why? You know, why am I trying to run from this right now? And so, yeah, I just didn't put on the movie. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't. If you feel like you should watch a movie, go ahead. You know, it's just that I guess I felt at that point, I've been through this enough. And there were moments where I did reach for the movie because it was too much, or at least I felt like it was too much. I didn't feel like it was too much this time. In fact, I felt like it was something that was not only necessary, but appropriate to the time. You know, my daughter wasn't home. For example, you know, I had the night to just spin through it. And so I guess that's what I'm saying is I go through shit too. And if you are, that's okay. Allow it to refresh you.
Yeah, because it really isn't about just talking about it at all. You know, it's always the application. And, you know, I've been pulling on to some stuff for a bit, for sure. And I'm feeling likewise, yeah, a little bit more refreshed from it. But yeah, because like there is the opportunity to not look at things. You know, it's there. But it's like deep down, you know what is there, you know, like, you know, what is there to, you know, let go of or do or actions or, you know, anything really in the sense that like, you know, you can just distract or avoid your whole life. It's like, no, it's going to be felt one way or the other, you know, like with, you know, more specifically just with, you know, certain societies, the world right now with, you know, that whole thing of hard men create soft times create soft men create hard times create hard men. Like there's a sense to both of those things, you know, there are sides of both of that that are felt, you know, it's like going through discomfort's the only way to learn, to grow, to shift and change. Like it can't be something that's read about. It can't be something that's, you know, watched or viewed, like, you know, watching a movie. Like it's comfortable for sure. Yeah. Because you don't have to, there is no thing there to do, but it's like, it just delays the process, you know, as opposed to just facing it and looking at it and, yeah, not looking away, you know?
Exactly. Marie was saying, I missed what got Ray feeling like shit yesterday. I guess that's the point, is that it wasn't any one thing. And yet it was kind of everything. You know, I could have pinned it on any one thing, but that would have been dismissing the cascade. You know, dismissing the fact that it wasn't just that one thing. It's just that that one thing really made it tempting to reach for another thing, which really made it tempting to reach for more things. And before I knew it, I had a lifetime of things that were going, you remember us? And so it's not really ever about one thing. It's always about that temptation to take it personally, right? It really is. It's just, it's all we've done our whole life. You know, we've taken things personally, and because we've taken things personally, we've developed hopes and dreams based on the misery that we were going through, right? Not recognizing that the only reason that we were so committed to those hopes and dreams was in contrast to the suffering that we were trying to escape. And so all of a sudden, as you're letting go of the suffering, you're also letting go of the hopes and dreams that were built on that suffering. And so there's a whole story of yourself that you've become very attached to, that I've become very attached to. And as much as I question it and I wear it down day by day, the fact is it's been my best friend my whole life. You know, it's been how I've comforted myself amidst the chaos and pain. You know, and so I don't think it's necessarily about, you know, letting the story go. I think it's about recognizing it's a story. You know, because the brain's going to consistently create one. And all I'm doing is I'm looking at my brain and going, right, but that's just one. that's just one. It's just the one that I'm afraid of, right? It's the one that I have the most emotional investment in. And so that's what I'm dealing with, is that emotional investment in it. That's all. You know, and it's a healthy thing to do at the end of the day, because it informs everything else. And indeed, I'm looking forward to what happens later on today, because we have an episode this afternoon, I believe. And I think we're just going to record it live again, which is kind of fun. I've been enjoying doing that for a number of reasons. It makes it a lot more entertaining. The audience, our listener, hello listener, gets to participate. They don't always know it's happening, because we don't always know it's happening until the very last minute. But I guess that's the point. Like, we didn't know we were going to have this conversation this morning. You know, I'm still not sure where this conversation is going, outside of just reflecting on the fact that it's okay to go through ups and downs. Right. I think that's what we were talking about recently in terms of the conversation, like the cerebral end of the conversation. It's almost easy to run to that to avoid the emotional stuff. Right. But it's because we don't like dealing with the emotional stuff, because we can't separate the emotion from our interpretation of it. Right. Or from our assumption about where it's coming from. That was the big thing yesterday. Like I can't tell you how much, man, but every time I was going through the feelings, my brain's like, it's because of this and this. No, it's because of this. And all I kept doing was going, well, maybe not, probably not. Like, there's a lot here. This seems like it's more than just that. You know, it started with the stupidest thing. Like, I can't even, we'll talk about it at some point, I'm sure. And anybody who knows me, if you want to, we can. But the point is that it starts with the littlest thing that you take seriously. You panic over it. You take personally, you know, and then it makes it easier to cascade into the next thing. And that's it. It's just, I got a little worked up, and then that worked into something else, and that worked into something else, and that worked into something else. And I was in a whole tidal wave of shit. And it went on for, I want to say, like 5-6 hours. It was a rough evening. Like, I went to the store to get milk, and I could tell, like, just the lady at the counter is always very nice, and she had this look on her face like, you okay? I was just like, just going through it, you know, have a great day, you know, and all that. And that's it. Like, I can laugh at it because at one point I made it a whole thing. At one point in my life, I couldn't let it go. Like, I couldn't see its purpose, and so I judged myself for going through it. I couldn't see how it was helping me grow, and so I resisted it every step of the way. And what happened was, I got stuck in it. And when I say stuck, I don't mean, like, for hours. I mean for years. Like, there's a reason all of this means so much to me. There's a reason that, you know, and I've said this recently, I will never stop. And it's because I lost like a decade of my life to just self-absorption and self-pity. You know, I really did. There are so many memories I have of that decade where I was not in that memory. I was in my thoughts. You know, I was somewhere else. Things were happening and I was a part of it, but I wasn't. You know, I was playing a story that wasn't part of what was happening. You know, and I didn't know it, and I couldn't see anything, and I couldn't see myself. It was absolute hell, to the point where there was nothing but darkness all the time. And I couldn't recognize that that was me doing it. And it's because of what I thought that meant about me. Isn't that funny? It's like, oh, God, if I'm doing this to myself, then I must be a terrible person. And it's just like, still doing it. Still doing it. And that's the point, is to go, okay, but why am I assuming it's a terrible person? I'm a terrible person for doing this. Because I don't like it. Because I don't like it. And therefore, if I don't like it, it doesn't have a purpose. I'm not learning anything from it. This is pointless. This is useless. Everybody else would be doing this better. That's why they're all, quote unquote, happier. And there go all the assumptions, all that shit. To hear all the fucking story that goes with that. Right? And that's what makes it heavy. That's what makes it not go away. And it's just to go, right. But I don't actually know there's something wrong. What I know is that I've gone through a lot of shit in my life, and I've done the best I could to figure it out along the way. And in my desperation to figure it out along the way, sometimes I have attached to things that made me feel a little better, but also had a consequence, also created a fear, also created a detachment. I can recognize that and recognize the process of letting that go as being painful. But that's it. I have to be honest. I can recognize I've done those things and not judge it, right? Because that's a lot of what I was going through yesterday. It's previous shit. A lot of it was previous shit that somewhere underneath it all, I'm still kind of tugging with. And I just got an up close view. You know? And if I were to judge it, and judge my past, and judge everything that led me to it, then I'd be judging everybody who's going through the same. Everybody who went through anything related or anything even reasonably similar to what I've gone through in my life, I'd be judging everything. But mostly I'm just judging myself. And what have I learned throughout all of this other than that's what buried me? So it's another exercise in just not doing that, not giving in, not scratching that itch.
Yeah, because it's that, yeah, that focus, you know, that focus that ties you up, that makes you think like there's something to do about it, you know, as opposed to It's like continuing to live and pay attention and, you know, experience reality for what it is. And yeah, that sense of, you know, that sense of feeling like you need something else. Like you don't, you know, you don't need anyone, period. Like point blank. And like anyone who you think you do is a part of that weight too, you know? And so, yeah, that ability to just look at things, you know, for what they are and let things go and be okay with it. Like it's important, certainly. Like I've felt that in relationships recently, you know, that sense of feeling like you need something and realizing, you know, that you don't, and you'll be okay. And like you can stand on your own. And you know, like I was saying before with that, you know, sense of being looked out for, you know, being provided for, you know, it's something that comes with a weight too, you know, that sort of like the parent-child relationship, for example. It's like it comes with kind of an unsaid weight of expectation, or it can. Someone's holding on to one side or the other, you know, expecting someone to do something or expecting someone to, you know, provide for you. And it can get, you know, very, very heavy in a sense. So yeah, letting that go opens up a lot of space for sure. You know, and so there can be room for just more ability to live your life fully, you know,
and cry alone. See, that's the thing, right? Like it's so easy to you know, forget that a lot of our life is leading up to the responsibility of being alone, right? And so the characters along the way who have been there for us are kind of there because we wanted them to be, right? That's kind of the point, right? Like everything's appropriate to the mentality that you're in. Everything's appropriate to the lessons you're learning about yourself. And so often, you know, there's a lot of people around you offering to hold you up because you think you need it, you know, and you do for a good portion of your life. You know, this is something about being a parent. Like, you know, my kid doesn't know anything about living in the world. Like, she's just starting to learn now, you know? And so I'm like, all right, well, I got to keep you alive. I got to keep you on. I got to do all that. But on the same token, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, but this is going to suck shortly. Like, this is going to be really hard for you. And that's what she's kind of getting ready for now. She's like, hey, I'm going out in like a year and a bit. Like, I'm about to hit the world. There's going to be bills and taxes and stuff like that. And then the whole way I've been just going, yeah. Yeah, that's what's coming. And we've been talking about that for a long time, right? A long time, because I've been telling her, like, this isn't going to last forever. Like, this level of comfort, this level of you know, freedom to just do what you want to do isn't going to last forever. Eventually, you're going to be on your own. Eventually, you know, you're not going to have somebody there to make you feel better if you're, you know, if you're going through shit. You're not going to have someone there to vilify. If you're going through shit, it's not going to be a scapegoat, you know? And that's a tough part of growing up, man. That's the whole thing. I had that shit thrust upon me pretty early, you know? And so for me, it was just trying to get away from it and not being able to, you know, until finally I was just like, oh fuck, there's a lot of potential there. Like, there's a lot of lessons there. In fact, there always has been. My God. Oh my holy fucking Christ. How much have I learned from all those, that time alone? And a lot. That's why when I'm going through it like I was yesterday, I'm just like, sweet, I'm alone. This is easy, right? Because now I'm just looking at it. I'm not distracted. I'm not, you know, taken away from it. I'm going through it. But man, to be just alone in your apartment, working through it on your own at one point, that was brutal. That was brutal. And it was only brutal because, again, I thought it was something, there was something wrong with it. You know, I thought that because I felt like shit, I was doing badly. And that was, again, part of that shit that you have to let go of. That idea that you've ever been doing, quote unquote, badly. That there's any judgment of you at all that holds any water whatsoever. You know, and as you start to let that go, it gets emotional. Especially when all the judgments come back and you're like, man, my God, I've done that forever. I don't have to do that at all. You know, that's the cleansing part of it. It's nice. But that said, this has been a serious first half hour, hasn't it? Jesus. Thank you, everyone, for sitting through this shit with us. We appreciate it. I wanted to say, Patreon yesterday was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the group chat that we had. But today, as we have a tier one call, I just wanted to mention, you know, if you have questions, like if you want to actually just chat with us, not come to the group and look for an answer, but just come to the group and shoot the shit and spend time. This is your best chance to do that. Like, we really do appreciate the support and all of that. But the reason that we do the Patreon calls, frankly, is to just be a place for you to go if you're wanting to spend time by yourself and listening to other people kind of just going through what it feels like to be by themselves. This is why I like the Zoom groups, to tell you honestly, because everybody's alone. Yeah, you're sure we're all in a group, but everybody's in their own reality or room alone. So we're all talking to ourselves, you know, and it's a really good way if you're going through the process to just be with others and hear their various different responses to that. Right? Some people treat it lightly. Some people are going through some heavy shit. And then other people are like, yeah, I get that. I'm on the light side right now. Here's what it's like. Do you remember that? And then the heavy side's like, oh, fuck, right. There you go. And before you know it, the entire group feels a little bit lighter. Right? There's almost like a buoyancy that happens just from everybody working on their own shit rather than trying to pick everybody else up, right? Which is very much what the retreats had the potential to be like, right? Is everybody working on their own shit and accordingly a collective lightening, right? But it's not through trying to lighten anybody else. If anything, that can be that distraction. That would be like me reaching for the movie last night, right? Whereas I could get so much more processed just by letting it fucking happen, right? And trying not to take it personally. You know, there were numerous times last night, and I want to mention this, as I was sobbing, where I laughed at myself while I was sobbing, which is admittedly kind of a fun new development in that process. I don't remember ever being able to laugh at myself when I was going through that shit in the past. And it just makes it so much easier. Because again, it's just an assumption. If you're like, oh God, this serves no purpose, I shouldn't be going through this. It's just an assumption. It's just preference. You know, you can laugh at yourself because you just made it harder. You just made it harder. You're like, I shouldn't be going through this. What the fuck am I doing? Laugh. Laugh. Oh, that's going to help. But yeah, I'm going to pass it over to Andrew because I've talked a lot for this last half hour. I've been very chatty this morning. Thank you, by the way. I appreciate your indulgence. I know you're like, it's fine, but I'm talking to myself, I guess.
Yeah, and you can keep going with that for sure. But yeah, that sense of, you know, going like everything's informative. Right? Like every side has the information to inform the other. And it's like, you can't have one without the other, you know, like trying to avoid suffering is absurd, you know, it's like there's, yeah. And so there's things that you go through that give you context on things. And there is, yeah, there's an appreciation for those things that you go through and you experience because, you know, you realize how much strength you're you're building as you go through stuff. And it's, yeah, it gives you a lot of context for life and reality, you know, and that, yeah, there isn't this bubble at all, you know, like it's not this thing that's just beautiful all the time. Like it's not all sunshine and rainbows, you know, you go through things and deal with things and, you know, let things go and see where life takes you. I'm seeing some comments in here. I wanted to read Marie, currently creating a book for my students that is supposed to help them remember that they're going to be okay when they're going through it. One of the prompts is when I'm feeling sad. And for example, for my example for them, I was going to say, like, I like to cry and then laugh because I can remember that I can. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Being able to laugh in the face of discomfort and adversity is, yeah, it's like, what else can you do? You know,
a number of things. Yeah. And laughter is an option. Yeah. It's kind of the funny part, right? We get so caught up in that habitual panic, right? Or judgment or resistance that we don't recognize. That's just the option you've been using the most, right? It's the rut that your brain just goes into because it's used it so often, as opposed to carving a new path. And that's kind of the point, is to recognize, you know, the attachment, the habit, you know, the story. And again, like, it's so funny how the way we identify, the way we personalize it, creates an impact of its own. Like, you may not even realize it, but the choices you make, you will subtly avoid the things that question the story you're attached to. You won't even see yourself doing it. You will avoid the laughing, for example, as even being an option. If you're telling yourself a story that there's something wrong, it's like you won't even see the options there. There's an immediate bias. There are options that we cannot see because we are attached to a certain perspective of ourself and the story that we're going through. That in itself is a reason to be skeptical all the time. The fact that we're quite literally blinded by shit that we're not even aware we're still attached to. And the only reason we're not aware is because we're speeding through it. We're reacting to it rather than stopping, looking at it and going, hold up, what am I reacting to exactly here? And that's kind of the point, right? Is to just go through that process. And where does that go? To more opportunity, to more options. That's the point, right? Like, there are conversations I've had recently. There are, well, I mean, just being here on the podcast. At one point in my life, the things that we do here on the podcast, the things we've done to get here with Dualistic Unity, hell, where we are with the investor presentation and all of that. And I want to mention, by the way, we're already up to 5% of Dualistic Unity being purchased by investors. That's incredible. That's amazing. But you see, this whole venture, at one point I wouldn't have seen any of the things that led to it or that we actively choose day to day as even options. Because I would have been telling myself, I can't do that. I've never done that. I who am I to do this? You know, somebody else would do it better. Like, I would have been so lost in the story that it would have never dawned on me to just do the thing. Just show up, record the podcast. Just show up, do the retreat. Just show up, you know, do the presentation. Just show up and continue to do. I would have been so busy telling myself something about that, that I would have never done it. And isn't that funny? So yeah, I'm excited because what else is possible? And this is why I love Dualistic Unity, because we're not even saying there's a ceiling. Like, if you look at our business presentation, and I encourage you, if you're interested, check it out, dualisticunity.com/invest. There's a whole presentation there. I realized that the Dualistic Unity Life Troubleshooter is not on it. So I'm definitely going to add that in the next few days. But check it out, because we're not just a podcast. We have ambitions we have, not even ambitions, just directions that we think this can go, a lack of ceiling in terms of just how much this can grow and how many people it can include and help. You know, and why not? Why not? Why not? Outside of some story, it can't be done. Somebody else would have done it by now. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and that's it. So fuck it. Caution to the wind. Let's ride this into the fucking sunset. If you'd like to join us, check out the presentation.
Hey, fucking men, dude. Yeah. Like, yeah, because it's all on the table. Like, it's all possible. All the things, like, there, if there's not, you know, if you're not telling yourself so much of a story, if there aren't so many things that you're, you know, those blocks in the way that you're telling yourself, it's like there's a ton of opportunity out there, you know, to, it's like, yeah, that sense, the experience of being free from, you know, tether of expectation, tether of desire, like wanting something out of something instead of just like fully being there in it without the need to assume how your progress is doing, you know, without judging yourself for doing it or what you're going through or what you're dealing with. And every situation has the opportunity to let go of, you know, the story, you know, let go of that judgment for how you've lived or how you're doing things or what you've been through or dealt with. It's like, you don't have to judge any of that stuff because it's all part of that veil. It's like me judging me. It's like, it's a convenient distraction. It's a way to a means of avoidance, you know, being able to do that. Cause it's still, yeah, it's still that self-absorption, you know, that self-judgment, the thought that you're doing something, yeah, that you could have done differently. It's like, you can now. You can do it differently now. And so, yeah, having those opportunities to just face things and face discomfort and deal with things and go through your life, you know, it's like, that's what makes up your life. And that's what allows you to have context and empathize with people. And there are lots of opportunities to be able to do that throughout our lives, to assume that, you know, you can avoid all of those throughout your whole life. It's like you won't build any strength in yourself going through no discomfort whatsoever. And so it's almost a requirement for you to, you know, experience that sense of lightness is to go through uncomfortable periods, you know, periods where you have the opportunity to, you know, opportunity to judge yourself for sure based on previous stories that you've told yourself, and then not doing it again. I'm enjoying the comments coming through. Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome for sure. I wanted to take a slight turn. So I've been really enjoying the Christian thing that's been happening on Instagram. And it's just because I've done almost nothing. Like, it's just so funny. Like, the whole guillotine thing, that's just setting people off. Some people are like, this is fucking hilarious. Other people are super uptight. Like, super uptight. And all I did was just post a fucking photo. Or the whole John 3:16 photo. Like, that's just setting them off. And so I came up with this. Hold on. So, and I will give... Actually, let me just tell the story first. Okay. So in Luke 19, verses 29 to 34, as Jesus approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." So I've created this image, and I think it's appropriate, and I just wanted to share it with everyone before I post it online.
Oh man, that's awesome. That's a real story in the Bible right there. Like, yeah, that's not in the children's books. That's not.
I just love it. Like, you kind of
fucked around a little bit.
Well, think about what they're saying. Jesus has like a posse. He's surrounded by people. He sends two of them to take someone's shit. And then he's surprised when the guy doesn't fight back. They're like, "The Lord needs it." It'd be like saying the Don is offering you something you can't refuse, like straight up. And then, like, I just see him just laughing about it, like, "The Lord needs it." What a fucking line. Yeah, no, I can't wait for this to hit Instagram. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, pretty savage of Jesus. Oh, was that? People can't see it. Amanda, Marie. Oh, maybe there. Let us know. But that's like, you never get that sense that Jesus like fucked around and like didn't just kind of like almost utilized people's thoughts about, you know, all that stuff to take advantage. Oh, you got it. Nice. All right. Went through. Sweet.
Nice. That guy. Yeah. And if anybody's listening to the podcast after the fact, you can check this out on my Instagram page at Coalition for You, which is my personal account. I just want to say, you know, as much as I share some stuff from that to DU, I don't share all the stuff to DU. I will share this one, though, because I think it really does open up the conversation for a lot of people. And I'm going to put the quote that I just read from Luke at the bottom of this picture in a little white box just to make it clear. And no other commentary on it. I'm not going to put anything else. I'm just going to put in the caption, like, "When Jesus stole a donkey."
Oh, man. Yeah, and just see where they take that, because I'm curious where someone would be able to take that, too. Like,
oh, I know exactly where they'll take it.
No,
he didn't steal the donkey. The donkey belonged to God. No, I've heard this argument. I'm not even kidding. Jesus, like, couldn't have stolen the donkey because the donkey belonged to God.
Okay, so he just used the idea.
Because it was okay for Jesus, is what they're saying. It couldn't have been stealing because it was Jesus. See?
Yeah.
There's that cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? It's like, hold on, you have to question your superhero. Couldn't have been. Gonna go run for that fucking Trinity thing? Aha! The donkey is God, and therefore he's the donkey? It's the funniest fucking shit to watch. I love the mental gymnastics that Christians go through. It's quite entertaining. Oh man, hold on. I've been having the best time with John 10:34. Just the best time, because people are arguing. Because in John 10:34, Jesus says, "Is it not written, you are gods?" Okay? And that's from Psalm 82. Wherein, in Psalm 82, God is addressing the great assembly, okay, which is like the assembly of divine creatures. And he's like, "How long will you take care of the weak? How long will you defend those who need it? How long will you do the things that must be done?" And he's talking to the assembled gods. And everybody's like, "Oh, well, obviously he's talking about angels and shit." It never says that in Psalms at all. At all. Okay? But it sounds a lot like the voice of empathy, doesn't it? And so when Jesus is saying, you know, "Is it not written, you are gods?" People are actually arguing this. And I shit you not, this is the argument. Yeah, but it's a small g, not a big g. That's the argument. That's what it falls down to. No, there's a small g, not a big g. So while he's saying gods, he doesn't really mean God, right? Because that would be impossible. We're all little gods, right? And it's because there's that lack of understanding of the paradox that you and me are the one and only thing that exists, right? That you and I are both the same awareness, the same entity. We're in the same lack of place and time, right? And that's the paradox. You're within me and I'm within you and everyone's within everyone else. And so we are all God, but we are also gods. And what's funny is that in Psalm 82, he says, you will live like gods, but die like mortals. Indicating the temporary nature of our individual existence as God. Right. And so it's fucking clear if you understand the paradox, but people are like, no, it's a little g, not a big g, not recognizing. And this is my favorite part, that the original New Testament was all written in capitals.
So right there. Oh, gosh. And like, it just won't look at that, because that's, I remember hearing that when I was younger, that like, oh no, it's got to be the big G for it to mean something. And despite them, just like all the translations of it. And there's so many things in the Bible that people want to look at and don't want to look at. It's like, just depending on their own sort of stuff, but then still hold on to like, oh no, it's the parts that I like, that make me comfortable, that inform me, as opposed to the whole thing, you know, the whole book, the entire thing, and looking at it for what it is, and then looking at it for what it is, that it's a translation, that it's a bunch of books put together, that it's, you know, it's not just one thing. The word of, yeah, like it just has this sort of holy sense to it that it goes unquestioned, you know. It's not looked at like something that
I learned the expression for this actually recently. It's univocality. It's the assumption that the Bible is written by one person, by one source. And that's where a lot of Christians fall short.
and they'll just, because you just hold on to that. It's like, seems like an easy thing to do, is just like, yeah, no, that's not the case. And it's cognitive dissonance. Is just another example of that. Like, it's necessary, it's required to continue to believe in things, you know, to continue to hold on to stuff. And yeah, like,
that's why they'll tell you that Jesus is speaking in books that he's not. Like, I can't tell you how many people have told me, like, yeah, well, Jesus says this in Acts, or Jesus says this in Revelation. It's like, Jesus wasn't speaking in either of those. And what they're saying is like, but the Bible says it, therefore Jesus said it.
Oh, man. So it's just like that inherent connection. Like, gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's any belief in anything, really. Like, believing in any sort of story. Like, there's a common root to all of that. And it just reinforces, and those are, you know, those are some deep ones, the Christianity, the religion, the politics, those inherent to me, you know, how you think about yourself and that sense of control and being able to be like, this is something that I believe. It's like, yeah, it kind of is on top of you being yourself, like what's left. When you're not believing in something else. But yeah, Christianity, it's like, there's a side of me that really wants to dig into the Bible, you know, just to like get context, to be able to more, I don't know, like more fluidly have the conversation about it. But there's also the side that's like, no, it's application in my own life. You know, it's not about reading any sort of book or getting it from, you know, from anyone else. It really is from yourself. Like, what do you have to share and offer when you're not looking to someone else so much when no one else is there telling you how to be or what to do. Yeah. Like most of them, I feel like 90% of them, at least 95, like, nothing there. And because it isn't like coming from somewhere else, it's just your own sense of wanting there to be something to believe in, something to hold on to, something outside yourself. Just another example of it.
And that's the only argument. You know, it's funny because, again, in these conversations, I often get people who, they get very upset with me. And it's because I kind of call it as it is. You see, I grew up in a world where Christians have, I don't know, looked down on fucking everyone because they have the only right way. They have the only true religion. They're following the only true Messiah, all that shit. And they talk and talk and talk about faith and all that shit. And they lord it over everyone's head. While they're not actually experiencing any of it, but it's because it's in the book, because it's how they identify. You know, Christians are the best people in the world. Therefore, I am humble. It's like, that's not how that works, you know, and just that. And so I like getting into it with them where I just tell them straight up they have no fucking faith. You know, and it's just like, well, Jesus said that, yeah, lack of faith. Well, and then Mark said, yeah, lack of faith. And then, well, Satan, yeah, lack of faith. And it's like, look at all this storytelling you're doing. Look at all this storytelling you're doing. Look at all of these ideas that you're holding on to and won't question to get to anywhere close to reality. That's all it is. They're just like, well, God said this. It's like, really? Do you ever think that maybe your interpretation of that comes down to how much you know about yourself? You know, do you think a lot of these passages might change if you got some more self-knowledge and self-awareness, if you grew up? But they don't want to entertain that. No, the book says this, but that's open to your subjective interpretation. No, it's very clear. Well, then why do so many Christians disagree about so many things in the Bible? Right? It's because the idea isn't the reality. The description is not the described. The 2,000 words or so we have of Jesus wasn't Jesus. It's not Jesus. It's not all of his teachings. It's not everything that he was. Right? That's kind of the whole point. The interpretation we have, the image we have, isn't the thing. That is fucking clear. And to be aware of that is the challenge. That's faith. To remain in uncertainty without ever actually convincing yourself you know, just so you can feel better. And that's the only argument to have with any believer of any fiction. Don't argue the fiction. The only reason I like arguing with the whole Jesus thing is because it's fucking obvious what he was saying. You know, but again, that's because I enjoy doing that. I'm not saying that you should go do that by any means. You know, I got pounded over the head with this shit. You know, I believed in it for a long time. You know, so this is a thing that's very much a Ray thing. Let's just say, you know, it's something that I specifically enjoy doing. It's not something that you should be out there doing, anybody listening to this whatsoever. I mean, if you want to get into it, get into it, but don't do it because you're like, yeah, it has to be done. I feel how I feel about it. You know, that's just me and a result of my story and shit I'm still dealing with and all of that. Just keep that in mind. You know, for me, it's fun and it's challenging to be able to look at this old argument that at one point I would have made, and to recognize all of my old triggers, to actually recognize all of my shit, you know, as it comes up from those old things I was attached to, you know, like anything else. To me, dealing with angry Christians is just another way of dealing with my shit, you know, in a lot of ways. But there's that, and the fact that, and I said this yesterday in Patreon, in our group on Patreon, there are quite literally tens of millions of children right now around the world that are being terrified by the idea that they could go to hell if they don't do the right thing. Children, small, little children, not that small, but you know, small. Okay. And they're being influenced by that belief, and it will influence them for years to come, to the point where they'll be terrified to even question it. Because if you question it, that's a hell worthy trespass. It's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. It can certainly drive home some serious underlying fear, you know, of there being something some place, some eternal spot where Vernon, it's like, of course, if that's there, of course I'm going to stay in line. Of course I'm going to believe, of course I'm going to, you know, hold on to this perspective of like just doing what you're told, you know, just following someone, following something, as opposed to just looking to yourself. And yeah, dude, I gotta admit, like with a lot of things we've done, you know, throughout dualistic unity, like I've looked to, you know, I've looked to you for things to do, you know, like right next thing to get into or look at, as opposed to just looking myself, what makes sense to me moment to moment, you know, experience to experience. And so, yeah, it's exciting for sure to just see more and more that it's on me. It's on each of us to be ourselves. There's no one else to, no one else you can look to. And so, yeah, I'm excited to find out, you know, what that means.
I'm excited to go camping because I know you haven't spent a whole lot of time out, you know, camping. And I know this is not like real camping. It's campsite camping, but it's still camping and it's going to be in the woods. And that's what we're going to do. Andrew is going to be here on the island in the very near future. Amanda's actually going to be following shortly after that. And so we may have a late May camping trip before we go to Colorado. That might be fun because the weather is going to be very much like it's going to be when we do our camping trip later this summer. So it'd be a good opportunity for you to learn how to build a fire and deal with the weather. So right now on Patreon, for anybody interested in going to the camping trip, we have three different options for weeks that we are considering right now. I will read those options out just because that's kind of dickish. Otherwise, we've got August 19th to 23rd, August 26th to 30th, or September 2nd to September 6th. So which one of those options, and you can choose more than one, works for you. And we're going to do our best to book as many campsites as we can for the people who want to come. And you can come out and come camping with us. But again, this is not a retreat, which means that we're not taking care of your ass. And I mean that sincerely. Like, we'll get you your campsite. If you don't have gear, you can order some gear, or rather, we'll have an order form for you to get some gear, tent, air mattress, sleeping bag, you know, that kind of thing. But you are responsible for your own food. You're responsible for your own weed. You're responsible for, you know, your own munchies, and you're responsible for your own ride, frankly. So if you want to carpool with a bunch of other people, cool. But, you know, it's a camping trip, which means this isn't a retreat. We're going to hang out, and I'm going to be in my fucking glory. I fucking love the forest. I love being camping. You have no idea. Like, I'm in my element. I'm fucking like, let's chop some wood. Let's get some shit going. Put that tent up. Fucking let's go hang out by the beach, pick some mussels and shit. It's fucking dope. It's a lot of fun. But I am not going to be taking care of anyone on this camping trip. You want to chat with me? You come fucking find me. Want to come for a walk? Let's go for a walk. You know, that'll be cool. But yeah, if you want to vote on this camping trip, check out Patreon right now. There's a poll up and we're going to be deciding in the next like week to 2 weeks at like the longest. Like it's happening soon because these campsites are filling up. So definitely let us know. I do want to advocate, and this is my only thing, if we take the last week as an option, which is September 2nd to September 6th, it is the end of the on season, which means the weather is still favorable, but we're not going to be dealing with the 10 to 20,000 people that inhabit the neighboring town daily throughout the summer. So it will be a very different crowd in the town and on the beach, just with that 1 week difference. Keep that in mind for anybody voting. If you want to join us, do join us. I am going to take a brief intermission here as I need to use the bathroom, but I'm going to leave Andrew to talk about the upcoming Colorado retreat because that's going to be a lot of fun and it's going to be his triumphant return.
Yes, Colorado, the triumphant return. Context on that. Last year, one of the little trimsies got kind of opened up to some of my, deeper stuff, where things come from. And yeah, so I'm very excited to be going this time around and not have so much of that weight with me, show up and just be there and not have this sense of one side or the other, like needing help or needing to help someone else, like just showing up as I am. And there have been, points in my life where I felt more like that, more like, can just be yourself, can find out. But a lot of it has been looking around, looking to someone else. And so being able moment to moment to just take those steps and find out that, and not with a sense of like some sort of underlying conversation, or some sort of thing that's like guiding, or some answer that's guiding. It's just, the opportunity to jump in. So with the retreat coming up, we do have one ticket in limbo right now, and then I believe two open. There's a full bed in a shared room and a king bed in a private room. And so this is our last mini retreat for 2024. And so there's, it's not as expensive as the full retreats, and especially this one with, you get a Patreon discount. You can hop on there for a month. You get $350 off on the discount, and it costs $100. So that's $250 right there immediately. And yeah, it's going to be incredible. There's games, and there's a jacuzzi. There's places to walk. It's not as woodsy, but there's streets and they're quiet. So, it's going to be incredible, I think.
And
indoor.
This is one of the few retreats where we watch a movie. That actually doesn't usually happen at retreats. Usually the TV doesn't get turned on at all. But at this retreat, as we have a movie theater in the basement with six very plush, comfy fucking chairs and some bar stools behind it and a pool table behind that. It's a cool fucking room, is what I'm saying. We're going to watch some movies. Last time we watched Reefer Madness, which was educational for everyone. And we watched a couple other ones, which were great. The Men Who Stare at Goats. If you haven't seen that movie, I definitely recommend you go and check out that movie. It's fucking fantastic. It's brilliant. And surprisingly, based on more of a real story than you might actually know, in terms of the Gateway experience and CIA and all of their research and whatnot. Anyway, the point is, Colorado is going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited. And I remember very specifically, they really take care of that pool table. So I'm really looking forward to that, because some of the locations don't have a well-cared-for pool table. The one in the Netherlands had a pool table that was out in a very cold room. So that wasn't as enjoyable as one was hoping for. But this one's got a dope pool table. And I remember the fucking hot tub super comfy too, and a good size. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and the fire pit out back. It's like 10 chairs around there, I think. A little bit of a yard. There's a spot to hang out, soak up some sun. But yeah, if there's anyone that you go to that's like a lot of things to do in the house, lots of stuff. There's the air hockey, foosball, and Pac-Man.
And Galaga.
Yeah, maybe shuffleboard. So yeah, a lot of things to be able to hang and chill and do. So I'm very excited for this one. Feel a bit lighter going in.
Well, and we're going to have, the 2 weeks leading up to it where you and Amanda are in town, and we're just fucking carving shit up here in Nanaimo, because when you were in town last time, we were doing weed reviews, karaoke reviews, food review, food videos we were cooking is what I'm saying. Food videos? Anyway, we also did a being music episode, which I really enjoyed. So, I mean, we're going to get right back into the flow of things in the next little bit here. It's going to be fucking awesome and a lot of fun. So definitely everybody who's listening, follow us on Instagram at Dualistic Unity, because that's usually where we end up posting the stories when we're out and about going to restaurants or karaoke or hanging out by the waterfront or doing a weed review. You will find our Instagram story is, you know, pretty much up to date as much as we can, more than ours. Andrew has an ongoing fucking documentation of what he does while he's here, to the point where my daughter, if she's wondering where I am, she checks out his Instagram story.
Yeah. And so definitely keep tabs on that, because we're going to be, yeah, documenting it all and doing even more, you know, vlog stuff, documentation of just, you know, the process of whatever this is, because it's a lot easier to show it, you know, than talk about it and express it. And it's like, that's what it comes down to, is being it, you know, as opposed to talking about it. It's like, that actually isn't it at all. And I've definitely gotten more of an appreciation for that, for sure. You know, that it has nothing to do, like, there is no conversation. Like, yeah, it comes from what you do, you know, it comes from action. Like, that's what informs that, any degree of conversation. Like, yeah, the conversation without the action ain't shit, you know. It's nothing. Like, it isn't even, we were talking last week about it being like, you know, glaze on a donut, and it's like, not, it's hardly even that. It's basically almost has nothing to do, and can certainly be another thing, like any other belief, you know, any other thing to follow. I have definitely found myself, you know, throughout this, certainly feeling like it can just be, you know, getting a message out there as opposed to being it, you know, as opposed to just living your life, you know, without so much thought of it being about you, even, you know, without following, like, the wants, you know, the desires. Like, that's actually not a very good indicator at all. And I've found that to be the case more and more, you know, as I try different ways and have tried different ways throughout my life, you know, to want certain things in the sense of being able to get that all the time. It's like, that's not it at all. That's one of the furthest things from it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had forgotten, but there's a very big difference between disciple and apostle. Right. A disciple is somebody who learns. It's like a student, right? An apostle is a messenger. Isn't that funny? You know, that Jesus himself was an apostle. Technically, everybody's like, oh, it was Jesus's apostles. It's like, not quite, though, because Jesus himself was a messenger, right? By being the message itself. So I think that's just kind of funny. When you take all of that glorification of one person out of it, it really just comes down to somebody willing to just let go of their shit, you know, which is what he was trying to tell his quote unquote apostles. And again, huge Christian belief, the apostles were without fucking, you know, misinterpretation. They got him. Absolutely. No, obviously not. Obviously not. Otherwise they would have been, you know, saying the shit that he said, and they didn't. You know, they went, he's so important. He's so important. All of that. And so I just wanted to mention very, very quickly that all he ever wanted them to do was let their shit go. Like, there was a point where he's actually like, you know what you want to do? Get rid of all your shit. Put what you want to carry on your back and go. And talk to people. And if you need somewhere to stay, knock on someone's door and say, hey, any chance you got a place for me to stay? And if they say no, just fucking dust your sandals off and keep going. I guess that's fucking extreme. You know, like, that's straight up, like, just dive into the unknown, motherfucker. You'll figure it out. You know, hold on to nothing. Don't take it personally. All of that. Like, does that sound like something that seems very much a part of this conversation? I'm not telling you to sell all your shit and go out and dust off your sandals and do all that stuff. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is that the entire point was letting go of the things you think define you. Actually having faith in the life that you're living. Having faith in the path that you're on. Having faith in any direction you choose, right? But recognizing why you choose the direction and how much of it is trying to be that fiction, how much of it is trying to protect that fiction or feel better or feel more secure or compare yourself or feel more valuable. Because then that's the only message you're being, is that you're not enough, right? And that's it. But after then, once you are, everything you do changes. Just live your life, have faith, not in anything. Just have faith, move forward, relax. And if you can, fucking laugh. Laugh, because I don't know if anybody else has recognized this, but there's a super serious fucking tone to everything right now. And laughter is very important. Laughter and empathy, but they are not exclusive. You can empathize and still hold laughter in your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. That message of doing it on your own, you know, living your life for you, like, it's the only way to build any degree of faith in yourself. And some people start when they're young and some people start when they're not as young. And that sense, it's like, if you're looking to anyone else or if you are following something else, like, there's, you can't do that without having a sense of self-doubt still in there. And it's not to say that, you know, self-doubt is something that has to be gotten rid of entirely, like removed entirely. It's like there's always the potential for that, but you go through things and you build, you know, you build more of an opportunity to see that you don't have to doubt yourself. You know, you don't have to question what you see and how you see things. I mean, question what you see. Yeah, like, you know, question things, but it's not to say that you have to doubt your own decisions or your own responses to things. And being able to step through that, you know, and continue to do so, it's like, that's what builds it. It's not every time you look, every time you're like, but what about this, that, tell me something. It's like, that's the other direction. That's not giving yourself the opportunity so much. And it actually, yeah, it cuts down on your, just your own ability to have any degree of empathy for someone else as you're focused on how little you think you are. It's still an assumption of looking at yourself.
Yeah. I've actually had Christians say that recently. It's like, how can I be egotistical? I'm a sinner. It's like, yeah, exactly. You know, and that's it. Is everybody assumes being egotistical means having a positive view of yourself, having a positive idea. It's just the idea itself as truth. That's all it is. You know, but that's how they've kind of gotten around that. You know, which is why they can't stand the idea that, like, we're all God. They're like, oh, that's pride. It's like, you are missing the point. You know, you are missing the point. And it's because you're still confused about who you think you are and who you are. And that is also a response I often give Christians. You know, and it just goes over the head most of the time. Some people have asked, though, like, what do you mean? Like I said, out of all of that shit show that's happened on Instagram, 26,000 views on both of those stupid posts so far, I think. And hundreds of comments. I want to mention that. Hundreds of comments. Not a lot of likes. Lots of comments, though. In all of that, I think there have been 5, maybe 10 people who have went, I'll check the podcast. And it's just because they actually were willing to have a conversation about what they're going through as people rather than just quoting fucking dogma. Right. And so there was that willingness to question, because there's that willingness to look at this as more than just find the right thing to follow. There is more in that. You have your subjective experience of this. You have your confusion. You have your thought. You have your doubts. You have all that stuff. And if you're not addressing that, they're not getting much out of anything. You know, and some people are willing to actually have that conversation, but first they attack you with the thing that they hold on to for security. Talk to them about that. That said, we are at the end of this episode, which has been a lot of fun. Thank you, everyone, for sitting through this. And I know it kind of, again, the pendulum swung. We went really heavy, really light, really heavy, really light, blah, 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 blah. After this, we're going to be on Patreon. Join us. It's a tier one call, which means you can join for only $5 a month. There's also a free trial. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.